Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Jeff Passan for joining us earlier. In about 20 minutes, we will have our senior shout-out today, Skylar Garcia, right, Greg?
Yep, that's right. She is a head cheerleader. At
San Fernando.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So we will chat with Skylar and congratulate her. Also, at 11:30, Sean McVay, the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams. I have a lot of questions for Sean, so we will talk to Sean and catch up with him. Always good to catch up with Coach McVay. So, 877-710-ESPN is the number. I asked you, we heard Adam Silver talk about, you know, having a, I guess, you know, there's a line of demarcation, an imaginary line of demarcation about where, you know, you want to play this season, but you don't also don't want it to impact next season in a large way, right? So I asked the question before the break, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, which is, are you willing to punt on this season if it's going to hurt next season in a big way? Or are you willing, you want to finish this season no matter what, and whatever happens next year happens next year? So I know, I would imagine Lakers and Clipper fans feel maybe similarly. Maybe they don't. Maybe they feel the same. But we'll get your thoughts on it. We got some people on the phone at 877-710-ESPN. Mitch, what do you got, bud?
Georgie, how you doing? Hope everything's safe.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You too. I got to work like you. I got to work from home for FedEx, but it's impossible. I don't want to see the season go. I don't want next year to be affected. If somehow baseball can get started spring training late May, let's go for 7 games regular season just to warm up their bodies. And you know it's going to be the Clippers, my Clippers, I hope, or the Lakers against Milwaukee. We'll see that in July. I'll be happy with that.
All right, buddy.
With no fans in the stands.
Gotcha. All right, buddy. Stay safe. Let's go to Daniel in L.A. Daniel.
Hey, Sedano. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, bud. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. I hope you're safe.
I think, yeah, you too. I'm thinking that, a lot like Phil Jackson said, when the San Antonio Spurs won during that shortened season, that there was an asterisk by that, you know, championship. In some ways, no matter what happens, there's going to be an asterisk by this anyway, and I would much rather have a full season, if possible, next time. And, you know, I know it's kind of a layman's look at it, but, you know, if you give the championship to whoever had the best record up to now, but this thing is so much bigger than the NBA, than baseball, than sports, that we need to just say, here's an asterisk for this season, this year, and let's move on to next.
That's interesting. Are you a Laker fan?
I love the Lakers. Absolutely a Lakers fan.
And the reason I asked that, Daniel, is only because, you know, LeBron's getting a year older, right? Like, and I understand he's resting here at this point, so his body's not taking the pounding. But, you know, there's only so many years left, you know, in his body.
Yes, all of them. But think about it. Everyone's going to be that way.
So, sure.
You know, and whoever wins, there's going to be an asterisk anyway. People are going to say, well, the season kind of stopped. What are you going to do? Let's just with love say thank you for all your hard work, you guys. Whoever got the best record, let's give it to them. And this thing is so much bigger. Let's move on, but with love, you know, with an asterisk, boom, we do next year.
All right, Daniel, thanks for the call, buddy. Stay safe, stay healthy. Appreciate it. I don't know about the last part about just giving it to whoever had the best record. I think you just vacate it in that particular case. Ja'Cory in Santa Ana. What's up, Ja'Cory?
How's it going? Thanks for letting me call in. I just want to say, just like kind of similar to what you were saying, I think with the Mamba passing away, you know what I mean, the coronavirus coming through, I think we should just dead the season. Don't give it to anybody. We all know that the Lakers made it to the playoffs. We haven't been there in a while. But I think they should just let everybody in the NBA come back full strength. You know, KD, Clay, you know what I mean, Steph, everybody mm-hmm. come back full strength and just have a great season next year.
Okay, fair enough, Ja'Cory. I'm actually surprised that, and look, I actually I don't disagree with Ja'Cory and Daniel about it. If that's the best case scenario, give me the best version of a season I can get. Because I just think things are just too wild right now, right? And you have to jump through too many hoops. But Bergman, I'm curious, are you surprised by the reaction so far? And what would you want to do?
Yeah, I am a little surprised by it. I think I assume that most Laker fans and just most fans in general are just strictly about their team and only care about what happens to them. And with LeBron getting a year older and all the different things that are happening, who knows if we have Anthony Davis next year? Assume that we will, but don't know. I personally am with Daniel and Ja'Cory, though. As much as I would love to see a championship this year, I think if you push everything and it messes with next year's NBA season, it becomes an effect where every season after that gets messed up as well. And it just becomes a more and bigger issue. And look, to me, health is the biggest thing. If for some reason we're able to get something back, we get sports back soon or in July or whatever it happens to be, great. But I think our health and getting through this and flattening the curve and getting rid of the virus is the most important thing.
Let me ask you this. So you're basically saying that you think Dana White's a crazy person for wanting to fight on an island.
Well, I mean, come on now.
Well, I mean, we always knew he was a crazy person. Like, that's not that isn't breaking news by any stretch of the imagination. Here's what Dana White said, by the way. Here's the quote. I'll tell you this. He told this to our Brett Okamoto. I'll tell you this. I'm close to getting a deal done. So this place where this fight is going to be on April 18th, I've locked up for 2 months. So I'm going to continue pumping fights out. I've also secured an island. So the place they're fighting on April 18th is not the island. He says, I got an island. The infrastructure is being built now. We're going to do all our international fights on this island. So when we do the fight on April 18th, international and in the United States, we're going to start cranking. The UFC will be back up and running internationally here and in the States. He's a crazy person.
He's just nuts, man. He's like, I just imagine him running around his office and like stuck inside and can't go anywhere and being like, let's get an island, man. Let's go get an island. If I go get an island, then we can just bring everyone to this island.
That is absolutely how I envision that going. There's no doubt. Let me go to Steve in LA. Steve, what do you got, buddy? Hope you're safe and healthy. Hope all of you are safe and healthy.
Yeah, George, same to you. I haven't called you guys since all the sports shut down, but Bergman and those two guys are nuts. Are you kidding me? You've played 80% of the season, George, and now you're going to shut it down? What you do is the teams that are in the playoffs. The first round is 2 out of 3. You move into an incubator city. You do whatever. 80% of the season's done. Are you kidding me?
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. I mean, listen, I get Steve's point, too. You're already almost done. You might as well try to finish it somewhere. And again, I think that if you listen to Adam Silver, I think you kind of hear it that, you know, look, we want to finish the season, but we're going to take our time. Time is kind of, you know, on our side in this particular way, in an ironic way, because no one's doing anything right now. So you've got a few weeks and months even to potentially figure it out. And we heard originally, remember Windhorse reporting, they're willing to play into September. So there's still a long way to go to September. We've got, 5 months? So, you know, we've got some time. You even got 3 or 4 months potentially to get it going, especially if you shorten the playoffs. But what you're saying, Bergman, maybe because I remember Ja'Cory saying this and Daniel, is that maybe the shortened playoffs wasn't something that you're a big fan of?
No, because crazy things happen. I mean, we've seen when it was back at 3 out of 5, and you know,
oh man, Seattle. Yeah. But that was fun, to be honest.
Right, but then I don't want to see that in the Western Conference Finals. I don't want to see.
No. I think Conference Finals. Yeah, I don't think you're doing 2 out of 3 in the Conference Finals. I think that
right,
in the Conference Finals. Yeah, no. By the time
you Lakers, Clippers, get out of here.
No, you could do 2 out of 3 in the first 2 rounds, and then you'd have to go to at least 5 in the conference finals, and then probably you'd try to do 7 in the finals. I think that would be the goal.
Okay, well then.
And by the way, Daniel and Ja'Cory, if I'm misrepresenting your opinion, I apologize. That's just the way I interpreted it. But anyway, I don't think they would do that. I don't. I think 2 out of 3 would be in the first 2 rounds.
Okay, well, in the second round, let's say, or it doesn't even matter. It could be first, second round, whatever you want to call it. You could have somehow, let's say, Oklahoma City or Houston. Houston gets hot in 2 games where they can't miss from 3, and they take out, you know, they take out Oklahoma City, and then they have to play the Lakers in the second round. And, oh, two out of three, they got hot from three again and ran through it. They win two of those three games. It's just not the, you know, like, that's just, it's a risk that is rough that I just don't want to see.
Oh, my God. But how great would it be if, like, I mean, let's just use, like, Milwaukee as an example, right? Because I don't want to freak people out with the Lakers. But,
sure.
But what if, like, Giannis, like, gets a little dinged up, right? Like a strained calf in, like, game one, and they lose to, like, Orlando. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God! You know what I'm saying? All like, it's crazy.
Yeah, one team gets hot. All of a sudden, DJ Augustine is banging threes from everywhere.
Hey.
And they're and then that's what happens.
Listen, I saw DJ Augustine win game one in Toronto last year, and everybody was like, uh-oh. Now, it didn't end up mattering because it was a seven-game series. But your point, in a two-game series, or three-game series, it could affect it. For sure, even though Toronto did win the rest of those games after that. But it would create immense pressure. I'm with you. Let's go to Larry in Granada Hills. Larry, hope you're safe too, buddy.
Hi, George. I live down the street from Don, your father-in-law.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, and so when you were talking about the cheerleader, when Kelly was growing up, she was a cheerleader.
She was. I know. I told her we were having a cheerleader on today.
Yeah. So I know she went back to the ESPN to work that back there and stuff. So I'm saying, why don't you get her on to do the question instead of you?
It is funny.
What you're talking about.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You're right. That is a great point, Larry. And it's funny. So I brought it up to her that we were having one, and she said I should come on. But right now, she is dealing with the kids right now. So she can't run. The problem is then we'd have a problem. We have two children. So like that becomes the challenge right now. And she is, she's doing something where I asked her if she wanted to do it. She says, I can't do it right now as much as I would like to do it.
Okay. Well, tell her Larry gives her love and, keep well, keep the kids.
Will do. You too, Larry. Stay safe. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. I did ask my wife, Bergman and Laura, to do the interview because it would be way more interesting if she did it.
Well, she knows what she's talking about. I mean, can you tell me the difference between anything about cheerleading?
No, I don't know anything about cheerleading, which this will test the limits of my interview skills.
At least ask her for some questions.
I probably should have done that. But yeah, like now it may be tough. Because I think she's trying to put the baby down for a nap here in the next few minutes. So now I can't even go upstairs and ask her the questions because then I would be ruining the potential of the nap. And then I'd really be in trouble.
Can you text her?
I don't think she takes her phone upstairs when it's nap time. Just for that, to avoid like the phone going off. So I may have to check. Either way. You know what? How about this? There are plenty of people in this audience, okay, who are listening right now who may have access to a Twitter feed who can send me a question at Sedano. And we can do this as a community. We're all doing this. We're all in this together, including this interview coming up next, because we're going to do a great job of talking to Skylar Garcia of San Fernando High School, who is our senior shout out. But real quick, before we do that, and before we go to break, I had promised to hear from Woj. So Woj was on SVP last night on SportsCenter and talking about much like Major League Baseball, how to deal with players, right? Like if they were to do these incubator cities, like what is the most necessary step for them? And it's a common theme. We've talked about testing. Here's what Woj said to SVP yesterday.
Start with testing and what a testing process would look like if the league returned to play. Everything from a ramp up with teams in practice facilities to a bubble in Vegas, and then restarting play. When you talk to whether it's owners, executives, medical people around the league, there's a belief that there is very likely going to have to be an ability for players, if they were to test positive, that they wouldn't then have to isolate the entire team and pull a team out of a playoff series, that they'd be able to take that player, treat him away from the team, but then be able to have, you know, rapid result testing available for everyone, you know, coaches, players, anyone in that immediate area, and be able to have within that bubble the ability for someone to test positive, but not force them to ultimately have to shut everything down.
So very similar, Greg, to what we heard from Jeff on Major League Baseball. And Baxter Holmes has more information on that, which we'll talk about, you know, after we talk to our friend Skyler, our senior shout out today, about the NBA working on a rapid testing with the medical community that obviously can also help the public, which I think is good if these sports can do things to help the public as well.
Yeah, if we can get it to the public and just have as much rapid testing and quick testing as possible, that's an excellent thing.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I'm going to try to find my wife or at least text her. And maybe she can either text me a question to ask Skylar Garcia, or she could maybe even do the interview herself. Who knows? Or we can at least have a conversation about it with her. We will negotiate in the commercial break. Skylar Garcia, our senior shout out, will join us in just a second. Don't forget Sean McVay will be calling us at 11:30. It's the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorers, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can get online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. We've been doing our senior shout-outs here on 710 ESPN all week long. Thank you guys for sending in your submissions, whether it's family members, friends, classmates, etc. People have been doing it by emailing first and last name, city, school, to this email address, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, or sending us videos with the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout on Instagram or Twitter. Today's senior shout-out is Skylar Garcia of San Fernando High. Skylar, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let me start here. You know, you are the captain of the cheerleading squad. When did you start cheering?
I started cheering about when I was 8 years old.
And have you been the captain the whole way? Like, or when did you become a captain? Like, at what age?
I became the captain my senior year. I was varsity cheer my whole 4 years throughout high school.
Great, great. Now, how tough was this year for you guys? I mean, obviously, you know, you go through school, right? You're there with your friends. You have these activities like cheerleading. You're the captain of your cheerleading squad. What was it like just kind of knowing that the school year was not going to end the way that you had anticipated?
It was really heartbreaking. My team had been practicing all week. That last week we were at school. We had a cheer competition the next weekend. And it was really heartbreaking to see everyone, like, put all that work in to not be able to compete.
Yeah, I would imagine. What were those conversations like that you had with the administrators and then maybe with your team individually after that?
We've discussed opportunities to have a showcase, possibly when all of this is over, a small family showcase to show everybody what we were working so hard for.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And that would happen at San Fernando High School?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. Now, you mentioned that you guys were competing. Like, how often were you guys competing?
We've had scheduled one for at least every month within our local schools. And we were supposed to have our last one May 9th, I believe.
Gotcha. Skylar Garcia with us here. She's our senior shout out. So what have you been doing in the interim? Like, how have you been dealing with school is my biggest question, right? Like, the academic part of it. Are you guys doing classes virtually on Zoom or whatnot?
Yeah, it's very hard to keep on track online because it's such a big change that everyone's going through. And it's really hard to adapt to keeping track with everything. And my cheer team has been doing online classes to keep us active as we're home for this whole quarantine.
That's cool. So you've been doing not only the academics part, but have you guys been doing like physical activities? I know, like, for example, like trainers or whatnot from different varieties of physical activities have been working online, and they've been doing stuff like, I know yoga instructors are teaching online, right? Like, are you guys doing any of that while you're online as well?
Yeah, so our coach is helping us, giving us a scheduled workout plan, and so we all go on the same call and do the same workout.
That's pretty cool. And do you do that like before your academics, or is that something you guys do later in the day?
It's in midday when we have no classes.
Gotcha. So what is the schedule like right now for you? Like, what are you doing when you're getting up? Like, when does academics take place? Obviously, you mentioned this happens in the midday, the physical activities. So what is the schedule like, Skylar?
The schedule's pretty much check classes. And I know a lot of people's sleeping schedules are quite messed up. So I usually wake up and get breakfast and do my workout class. And then after that is my academics, because I have the whole rest of the day to do them.
Gotcha. And Skylar Garcia is our senior shout-out, cheer captain at San Fernando High School. Now, Mrs. Sedano, my wife, was a cheerleader, and she had me ask you this question about your role within the cheer group. She wanted to know if you were a tumbler. If not, what was your designation on the roster?
In my cheer team, I actually did a lot, almost everything. I flew, I was a back squat, a base, and also tumbled a few times.
Awesome. So you were very versatile, oh, yeah, certainly on your yeah, cheer team.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. It's great to hear that you're still, you know, you guys are managing this, and you're managing yourself. You're managing, obviously, your cheer team and everything that's involved with life as it's changed. And we want to just congratulate you on a fantastic year, both academically and with your cheer squad and your cheer team. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe and healthy, you and your family, okay? And thanks again.
Thank you.
You got it. There she is, Skylar Garcia of San Fernando High School. She is the cheer captain, our senior shout out. And don't forget, if you want to nominate someone in your family or one of your classmates or just a friend of the family or whatnot, you can do so by emailing their first and last name plus their city and school to ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. And don't forget, you could send a video as well on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag 710 senior shout out with that particular individual as well. So, all right. So you guys grade me. How did I do there? I only asked one question that Mrs. Sedano asked me to ask.
I'm pretty impressed with that. Actually, you made it through a full segment with her. You got good questions talking about her life. You got her talking. I give you an A, not an A plus.
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't deserve an A plus. I don't think so. I didn't get all the questions myself. Laura, what do you think?
I gave you a B.
Okay.
It's passing.
You're a tough grader. You're a tough grader.
You got to give her personally an A, because at least it was, you got through that and it sounded seamless.
Yeah. Like, you know, listen, I don't know anything about cheerleading, but I know about kids. I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, at one point in my life, seems like a long time ago now, I'm also raising children. And I have a wife who was a cheerleader. So I was able to get at least that question in for her. So I feel like we did our best to highlight Skylar and her ability as a cheer captain. And just, by the way, I think she did a great job of acknowledging how difficult it is and how challenging it is right now for them, both from an academic standpoint and from the cheer team standpoint. But she gave us great answers on how they're getting through all of it and how they're looking to get through it once this is all said and done too, which I thought was great on her end.
Yeah, we don't normally get to hear the teenager point of view. So that was, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was awesome. So congratulations again to Skylar. Laura's a rough grader, I appreciate you being tough on me. See, that's what I like. I like the tough grader. I like that Greg is pandering to me, but I like that Laura is also being a tough grader. All right, coming up next, speaking of tough graders, Sean McVay, the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, will join us. Stick around. He's going to call us in a few minutes, and we got a lot of questions for Coach McVay next here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks again to Skylar Garcia for joining us there, our 710 Senior Shout-Out. Sean McVay going to join us in just a few moments. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Sean McVay and Skylar and Jeff Passan, who joined us earlier, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So we're waiting on Coach McVay. I got to talk to him about his new Tiger King and Game of Thrones obsession. It is also National Beer Day. Is that true today, Greg?
Yep, today is National Beer Day, and I was wondering if he, what do you think he is? Do you think he's a beer guy? Do you think he's a hard liquor guy, wine?
See, I don't know. I can ask him, but the you know me, I have no shame when it comes to talking to Sean about these things.
Right.
But I like, what's the beer place that I did a remote from in Anaheim last summer?
Dude's Brewery. Is that one?
What is it?
Was it Dude's Brew?
No. Dude's Brew is great too. They're great. No, and there was that they are at the Dodger games all the time. They have. All right, we'll figure it out later. Go away. I got to talk to McVay. You figure that out. I'll talk to Sean McVay, the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay joining us now here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sean, I hope everyone in the family and your extended family are healthy, safe, and sound.
They are, George. I appreciate that, man. That's crazy times right now, but fortunately, everybody's in good shape on our end.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. So what the heck have you been doing, Sean?
You know, it's a good question. I've been able to probably be in better health and take better care of myself than ever. So I've working out, getting a little bit more rest, studying guys for the draft, and then continuing to become an expert on these Zoom or Microsoft Teams meetings with our coaching staff as we're kind of just going through what a normal offseason would entail. And so trying to just keep a normal rhythm and a routine like you would as if you're at the office, and that's kind of what we've done. And then I've been able to watch a little bit more TV than normal as well.
That's funny because the last time you and I spoke last season, you know, I asked you at the end of the year, like, what's something you'd like to do better? And you said that you'd like to kind of find the opportunity to be better to yourself, whether that was getting in better shape or just being, I guess, being able to get away from football, even if it's just a little bit. So I'm glad to hear that's the case. What are you watching on TV?
You know, my fiance Veronica finally got me to watch a little bit of Game of Thrones. We've started out Ozark, so that's kind of what we're watching right now. But you know, it's I got to admit, I did see The Tiger King. I can't believe I watched it, but I did. So that's what we've been doing. But I've been achieving better balance, like we've talked about before, George. So that's a good thing, in spite of all the unfortunate things that are going on in our world.
Yeah, no question. And look, I just think that right now, and clearly, we're like you mentioned, we're in an unprecedented time, and we want everyone to get through this, and I think we all will get through it together. But I think that just personally and individually, it's about finding that balance and honestly getting some sort of schedule or routine. Like, the radio show allows me to do that, and then I've got the kids to deal with and whatnot. My wife and I take turns on that stuff. Like, I just think finding whatever the routine you can get into, you know, working out or whatever, allows you to kind of stay sane in times like this.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's exactly the same page I'm on. You know, it's really, you talk about developing a routine, really establishing your process and your kind of daily rhythm. And, you know, fortunately, the space that we have and being in an area where, you know, there's nice weather and you can still, you know, go outside in your backyard a little bit, you know, has been good to just kind of take advantage of the time that we'll probably never get again. And so try to make the most of what this situation really is.
All right. I got a couple of quick questions before we get to the football stuff. All right. Since you mentioned Game of Thrones, yep. How blown away are you by some of the storylines? It starts a little slow, but clearly it ramps up towards the end of season one. So where are you right now on Game of Thrones?
Yeah. We just started season three, so I kill off all the people that you end up really liking. You know, I mean, at the end of season one, they're chopping my man Ed Stark's head off. Khal Drogo dies. I'm like, holy heck, man! These guys, these writers, they have no remorse for killing off the good characters.
Yeah, man. That, like I said, it after about episode 9, season 1, where Ned Stark dies, it just goes from there. It is nonstop at that point. Listen, it only gets better from season 3 on. Like, if you're only in season 3, you've got a long way to go with some good stuff. So make sure you enjoy that. Yeah, and Tiger King. Look, I haven't gone there yet. I can you sell me on Tiger King? Like, or should you not sell me on Tiger King?
Here's what I would say. It's one of those deals that you start watching it and you're like, I can't believe I'm watching it. I can't believe it. Oh my, I cannot believe I just watched 7 episodes of this thing. You know, it's so crazy that you just, you know, the stuff that goes on, you know, and to think a lot of this stuff goes on in our country where there's, you know, these types of animals and they've got these basically zoos that these people are running. It's a pretty wild deal, and then you look at just some of the rivalries or you know, ill will that comes about. It's crazy. I it's hard for me to recommend it, but I couldn't stop watching it once I started. So it's like the most it was like the most fun you never want to have again.
Yeah, I hear you, Sean McVay, Rams head coach, with you here. One last one before we get to the football stuff. Today is National Beer Day. And look, I think that I'm like you. I have found myself more in a workout regimen. But occasionally, I do like to dabble in an adult beverage. I'm not a huge beer guy. I do love my guys at the Dude's Brew here in Southern California. But I'm more of a wine guy. And then on special nights, I'll do the a little harder stuff. Where is Sean McVay on the different areas of adult beverages?
Yeah, so we've also been partaking in a little bit more adult beverage consumption than normal. I've gotten, you know, we've got a bunch of different wines that my fiance's got us signed up for wine clubs. So I like a blend, a cab, a pinot. I'm pretty pretty easy, but I do love wine. And then if I'm drinking hard stuff, I'm not really like, oh, I have to drink this. I'll try different stuff. But typically, if you're drinking alcohol, what do you have? And I'll have a vodka and soda, something like that. I'm pretty simple guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am. I'm a wine guy first. And then I like beer, like if I'm outdoors, right? Like if I'm at a barbecue or at like a baseball game or something like that. And then hard liquor when the night deserves it. It's not something I go to very often, but I'm a simple guy. Give me anything on the rocks and I'm good.
Yeah, we're exactly on the same page there, George. So, you know, hey, flexible and versatile, that's what we can do.
All right. Speaking of flexible and versatile, you mentioned, you know, being a little more savvy when it comes to technology and Zoom. Will you be using Zoom from your house? Like, how is the draft going to work with you? Where will you be drafting from?
Yeah, I mean, we're still, you know, the league kind of sent out a memo yesterday, George, that we'll do it all from our homes virtually. And everybody will kind of be in separate locations. So the specifics of how we get that worked out with our IT and Les and Kevin Demoff and Tony Pastores, you know, we're kind of putting our heads together and figuring out what's the most efficient, sound way of doing that with the communication that sometimes occurs between teams and then obviously when you're sending your picks in. So this is definitely unprecedented times, but I think we're ready to adjust and adapt, and we're kind of working through that plan right now.
A lot of change, obviously, this offseason for you guys. How involved are you now in the decision-making process when it comes to that stuff, Sean?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been really good. I think as you continue to accumulate experience, George, you have a better feel for a lot of the things that, you know, you can be firm in your opinions on. But one of the things I've always appreciated, you know, since the first, you know, since day one that I got here, there's been great collaboration amongst myself, Les, Kevin Demoff. You know, we have a very similar vision. There's things that, you know, I think back to just the 3 years of experience that I've had in this role. And you're always trying to learn and grow and learn from some of the things that maybe you would do differently and not lose sight of some of the things that have helped us, you know, have a certain level of success. So it's always a good collaboration, but I think you get a little bit more ownership as you accumulate that experience, and that's one of the things that I've really appreciated, you know, being able to reflect back on the 3 years that I've had here.
Sean McVay, Rams head coach with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Where would you say was the biggest area of growth for you as you look back at your 3 years as far as coaching is concerned?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I think you're always just trying to learn and self-evaluate, continue to surround yourself with really good people so that you can learn from them. You know, and it's always about connecting, George. I think, you know, just connecting with the players, with the coaches, you know, just not losing sight of some of the foundational things that have helped us. And I think in some instances, you get so busy, you get caught up in different things, and you can lose sight of a lot of the foundational principles that you want to really operate by, you know, day in and day out. And, you know, that's where I think I can continue to get better. But it's also just accumulating experience. You know, we say it all the time with our players, repetition is the mother of learning. And as you accumulate reps, if you're able to be self-reflective and try to make sure you're always getting better and you're not afraid of, you know, taking some criticism, learn from your mistakes, I think that's where growth can occur. And that's what we want to try to achieve. And I'm no different than anybody else.
Speaking of growth, as far as Jared Goff is concerned, where's his maturation process and what's the next step for him?
Yeah, I think what I was really pleased with Jared, you know, just looking especially at last year, George, is we had some adversity. We had some stretches where we didn't play as well as we expect to on offense. And I was really pleased with the way that he finished up the season. We played some good defenses down the stretch. He goes to San Fran and you know, puts 30-plus on the board when at that point I think New Orleans was the only other team that had done that. Played well against Seattle on Sunday night, had two really good games against Arizona. So I was really pleased with the way that he finished the season, was able to lead his teammates when we did have a little bit more change, especially up front than what the first couple years together had entailed. And so I think it's just continuing to be consistent with the decision-making, the accuracy, the anticipation when you're throwing the football, and just the overall command. You know, the quarterback position has so many nuances to it, and like anything else, man, you just learn from your reps, you keep getting better, and keep becoming an extension of the coaching staff, and then, you know, just being himself. He's got a natural way of leading, so like anything, it's just about maturing and using the experience to continue to grow.
How tough, Sean, was the decision on Gurley for you?
Oh, man. It's tough. It's, you know, it's tough, George, because, you know, there's a personal deal, and especially at these times when you're so restricted with your interpersonal interactions that can occur, you know, and I reflect back on, as you know, I've kind of mentioned earlier in the conversation, when you look at the 3 years that you've been here and you go back and you start watching the film or you think about the memories, and this guy's been arguably as important as anybody for our success. I mean, you're talking about a guy, two first-team All-Pros, Offensive Player of the Year, where, you know, if you don't sit him, he's probably legitimately the MVP in the 17th season. He was, you know, his production was through the, you know, off the charts in 18, and a huge part of what we've been able to do and what's been, you know, fortunate for some of the success that we've been able to have is it revolves around Todd. And so, to say those decisions are easy, they're not difficult. Of course, they're difficult. And then there's also a human element that sometimes we can tend to forget because it is such a game that we love, and you don't think about those, you know, parts of it that make it really difficult. But I'm forever indebted to that guy. We have had a lot of great memories, and I wish him nothing but the best in Atlanta, and I think he'll do a nice job for them.
So, Sean, what's the plan at running back for you guys?
Yeah, I think you know, Daryl Henderson's a guy that we really like. He had some injuries and some reasons that he didn't get a chance. And then obviously having Todd restricted some of the opportunities that he got last year. So we're excited about him. Malcolm Brown is a guy that's always taken advantage of his chances. And he's shown that he can really play on all three downs. And then I think this is a deep draft class at the running back spot. And we feel like the value is there for where some of our picks occur, and if certain players are still on the board, I think you can potentially see us address that spot. But it's like anything else. Once we get out and start practicing, whenever that time comes, you know, you get the chance to evaluate it. But there are two backs on our roster we feel good about, and then we'll see if we end up adding one in the draft.
Couple more questions with Sean McVay, Rams head coach with us here on 710 ESPN. You mentioned when we get practicing. Do you know about what's on and what's off right now as far as the off-season program is concerned and camps and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think the first thing that we're really working through right now is, all right, how do we get through? What's the specifics of the draft? And then what type of communication will the league allow and enable from a virtual meetings, whatever that might be? That's really kind of the next step in our process of probably what most likely is going to be the off season, where it'll be restricted to just, you know, the communication that you can have on some of these, you know, on some of the technology that you can virtually communicate and be able to, you know, FaceTime and do all that stuff. So that's what I think probably the next step is as far as exactly what's after that. You know, it seems like it's ever changing by the day, especially as we get new information on what the spread looks like, hopefully trying to, you know, be a part of the solution of the downward trend and getting that curve going in the downward direction that we all want. But you'd go crazy, you know, trying to think about all the different scenarios. But I think like anything else, you just take one day at a time, and that's what we're doing. But it's really the draft, and then how we virtually meet with guys is probably the next step, George.
Sean, what can you tell us about some of the new additions to your coaching staff?
I'm very excited about these guys. When you look at our defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, he's been around Vic Fangio, who's a guy that I hold in high regard. Anybody that you talk to just speaks the world of him. He's sharp. He's motivated. He's a great communicator. He's got a great command and a high capacity for football. You know, he's been really good. I've really enjoyed working with him. I've really enjoyed observing the collaboration between he and our current coaching staff that's been in place on defense and where they'll go with that. John Bonamago, as our special teams coordinator, has a great track record. He's been a head coach at the collegiate level, winning a MAC, you know, a MAC championship. And he's a special guy. He's done a great job leading teams units, you know, for a handful of years. And I think he'll bring a great veteran presence to our special teams. And then on offense, you know, being able to add Kevin O'Connell, a guy that was in Washington. You know, I know Jay Gruden's been instrumental in a lot of my development as a coach, and he speaks the world of him. You get around him, great command, great ownership of the quarterback position. I think he and Jared will do a great job of working together, and I think you'll see that relationship be instrumental in some of the success that we'll have offensively, but then for Jared to play consistently like we know he's capable of. And then I think, you know, got a new running back coach in Thomas Brown, who's a stud. He played professionally. He was a back at Georgia. He's coached some of the best backs at the collegiate level, really helped them develop, and I'm really impressed with him. I think he's going to do an excellent job leading that running back room. So those four guys have really been outstanding additions to our coaching staff that I couldn't feel better about, and I think they're going to be all great great help to the success that we hope to have next year.
Sean, one more for you real quick. How much pressure is there to be more creative on you and the staff this season? Because, look, you still have an amazing amount of talent, but maybe not the name brand talent that you've had in the past.
Yeah, I think that's what every year is, George. You know, you got to adjust and adapt and evolve, and that's kind of what I was talking about, you know, with the experience that you have. And it's really just continuing to never let the complacency set in, really learn your players so you can figure out the best way to activate their skill sets. And, you know, I'm really excited whenever that opportunity will come to be able to do that and really collaborate with our coaching staff and certainly something we're excited about.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you guys on Hard Knocks whenever that gets going. And, you know, we'll see all the fun stuff. Maybe a Tiger King update there during Hard Knocks. Sean, stay safe. Stay healthy. Thank you so much for making time for us, man. Appreciate it as always.
Yep. Always appreciate it, too. Thanks, George.
You got it. Take care. There he is. Sean McVay, head coach of your Los Angeles Rams. All right. Coming up next, we'll get some thoughts on what Sean had to say and kind of give you an idea of what the NBA is trying to do to not only help the NBA, but help the public with testing. We'll get to that in just a second. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Sean McVay for joining us there. Always fun talking to Sean. Thanks to Skylar Garcia, our 710 senior shout out, which we will continue to do this week and next week, each and every day on each and every show. So make sure you send your submissions for a friend, a family member, classmate, teammate to at this email address, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. First name, last name, school, and city, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Send your suggestions there and your submissions, or take video and send them on Twitter or Instagram with the hashtag 710 senior shout out. So thanks again to Sean. Thanks to Jeff Passan earlier. Again, if you missed any part of the show and you missed any of our interviews, which were all fun and fantastic, you can go check them out on the interview on demand section for the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast, brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase. What's in your wallet? So, Bergman, was that the first time that, as my producer, that you you have had Sean on the show?
On your show? Yes. He is the first time he's been on with you with me here.
He and I have a fun little back and forth. I enjoy talking other stuff with him than football. Not that I don't enjoy talking football, because he's amazing at talking football. And he's got this crazy memory and recollection, and like, it's just insane. He's like a machine when talking football. But I like, kind of over the years that he's been here, I like kind of developing the balance part of his life, as you've noticed early on in the interview.
Well, that's the better stuff anyway. That's the fun stuff, the funny stuff. If we did get him back on in the next month or so, it should just be all that. Just all Tiger King and Game of Thrones and beer and wine and a whole bunch of just regular nonsense stuff. Just like, be his buddy.
Yeah, well, he's a good dude. He has always been super accommodating with me, and I have always been a huge fan because of that. Like, from day one, I remember seeing him actually at a it was a Clippers playoff game, because the Lakers haven't been in the playoffs in a while. It was at a Clippers playoff. Hey, it's not. I'm just speaking the truth. Okay,
relax.
I picked them to win the championship this year. Okay, so I got skin in the game. It's on ESPN.com still. All right. So I've run into him out before. Like, he's just a good dude. Like, I like talking to him in general, whether it's football or not. But I like people to see that he's like a fun person too, because he's also young. Everyone already understands he's a really good coach. Like, I don't think he has to worry about that as much anymore. Even though, yes, football is what have you done for me lately, I think people understand he's an amazing and a tremendous coach.
Yeah, I think most people think of him as the guy that's like, during this quarantine, he's sitting in his house right now, and he's just like running through all of the old plays from his high school.
Oh, he's definitely doing that too, though. I don't think there's any question. Like, he's definitely doing that. It's just his wife is, and he's talked about it with me before, as he mentioned. Like, we've talked about balance, and you need balance, because guys in that sport, man, they burn out. Go ask Dick Vermeil, you know what I'm saying? Go ask John Gruden, who was his mentor, you know what I'm saying? Like, guys burn out in that sport really quick, because these coaches spend, you know, 15 hours a day in the facility, and that's just not, you know, during the season. And when the off season comes, you got to find a little off time. And it's what Jimmy Johnson talked about for many years that he couldn't do. And Belichick, I think, does a little better job of it now. But anyway, real quick, before we let you go, I mentioned the Baxter Holmes stuff, that the NBA is working on some stuff for both the NBA and clearly the public as well, because they're being sensitive to the needs of the world right now. Baxter Holmes, ESPN senior writer, who's a fantastic feature writer, had this to say on ESPN Radio yesterday about that.
In an ideal world, and this is obviously after government approval and public health agencies, they could envision a scenario in which you could line up various players, essential team staff members, and in an ideal world, have everybody tested and potentially try to create a safe environment. Now, there's a lot of hurdles, but the very first major critical thing that has to happen is rapid response testing. And it's currently what the NBA and the NBA Players Union are looking at. They're also sensitive, obviously, to the fact that testing nationwide remains a problem. And so they don't want to jump the line, so to speak. They understand that there's a lot of healthcare workers and other people out there that need that right now more than the NBA does.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, you know, it's good, though, that the NBA can do that, because I think it can help the general public certainly as well. So
can we just make David or Adam Silver the commissioner of all sports?
I mean, look, allegedly, whether you believe it or not, there was a report last year or 2 years ago when Roger Goodell was in hot water against Jerry Jones, that they offered it to him. So, you know, we'll see. I doubt it. I think he loves the NBA, and I'm glad keeping him there. Thanks to Jeff Passan. Thanks to Skylar Garcia. Thanks to Sean McVay. Thanks to you guys for tuning in and calling in. Thanks to Laura and Greg. We love you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.